Joining me on the program right now, nutritional consultant from London, Pam Colleen. How are you, Pam?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. And with the summer dwindling away, two things I want to talk to you about today. Getting your kids, first of all, school lunch program, or making sure your kids eat healthy when they're at school. And secondly, and this is so important, and it's often the last thing we think of as adults for our health, but our kids and sleep. And making sure, and it's so different in the summer because they don't have to get up early, so they sleep in, which means they get up late, they stay up later. But then to adjust, and it's like, well, now you got to go to bed early, even though it's still light out, and maybe some of their friends are playing. It's a difficult adjustment, but it's so critical, not just for your kids' health, but for all of our healths. And I know you're a big proponent of making sure you get adequate sleep, not just 6 hours. You're along the lines like 8-9 hours.
Oh, for kids, it'd be more like 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For me, I need 8-9 hours. Yeah, for kids. And we think we survive on less sleep. Our kids will be okay, but that's not true at all. This is when our body needs
to. You're going to see more mood disorders with children when they're not getting enough sleep, or if their sleep cycle has been disrupted somehow. So this is the right time of the year to start getting them onto a healthier sleep cycle.
Yeah.
Just as we're approaching, you know, the first day of school. So there's going to have to be some situational management going on here where you're coming up with ideas with your child to make sure that they're getting on a healthy sleep cycle that's going to match with their school hours. Because if they're not getting enough sleep, I mean, you're going to see this show up in terms of their ability to learn, their mood, their behavior, and so on. But really, you know, high school students should probably be getting about 9 hours of sleep, and children younger than that, more like 10 hours of sleep. I work with a lot of adults, and I even get my adult clients to sleep 9 hours a night, minimum, if that's what it takes, because that's the restorative period of the day where you're going to rebuild your adrenal glands. You and I always talk about the importance of the adrenal glands because they're your body's batteries. So you want to recharge those batteries every night when you have, hopefully, a good restful night's sleep. And that's not what's happening today with not just our adults, but with our children.
So where do we start? What are... We'll start here, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation. But where do we start? I mean, 9 to 10 hours, is there a guideline? Obviously, babies sleep the most. Teenagers need a little less, but they're growing. Their bodies are changing. Is there a general rule of thumb of how much time your child needs? Is there a way to find out how much sleep your child needs?
There are different groups out there, researchers and so on. They will basically say that if your child is in high school, it's 9 hours potentially. But I'm in the vein where I say if they have any kind of learning or mood issues, you probably want to extend that. So if you have a high school student who's having a difficulty, if they are lethargic, if they're moody, you know, there's something wrong. And I always look to the adrenal glands, right? And I know that those adrenal glands, in order to heal, need individuals to sleep longer periods of time in order to allow those adrenal glands to charge up. So even though they may say a high school student needs 10 hours or 9 hours of sleep, they may need 10 or 11 hours. Who knows? It really depends on what symptoms that child may have.
Can we catch up on the weekend? If my kid only gets 8 hours and then 12 on the weekend for two nights in a row, does that restore, or is it tough to catch up?
You can catch up, but it's still a really bad idea to break out of rhythm, right? So ideally, you don't want to have that goal of catching up, but you want to be on a good sleep cycle. So if you can fall asleep, say, by 10 o'clock at night and get up at 6, that's a nice, healthy sleep cycle. As you know, I had chronic fatigue for many, many years, and I had debilitating insomnia. And that's what happens when the adrenal glands are essentially not working properly. Most of my clients who have chronic fatigue or depression, they cannot fall asleep at night, or if they do fall asleep, they cannot stay asleep at night. And this has to do with the fact that the body is essentially so toxic and so deficient. The adrenal glands are not working properly, so they're pushing out tons of stress hormones, making that individual feel as if they're running away from a lion 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what happens is, you know, when you're running away from a lion, you're not going to sleep properly, because obviously you don't want to sleep when you're running away from a lion, right? So what we have to look to relaxing those adrenal glands, and that's what will make sure you have a good night's sleep and you wake up feeling rested. A lot of people are maybe sleeping through the night, but they're not waking up rested. rested. They're waking up really, you know, groggy. Mm-hmm. And this is not a good sign. This is a red flag when you're waking up with cobwebs in your brain.
Now, here's a question, and we'll address this because the big issue is time, and we've shifted our time because here's someone texting. Good luck. Some kids are up at 6 to catch the bus at 7 and are doing homework to 11. So when we come back, we'll address the time demands in our society today. But how do we fit in a good night's sleep? Often it's the first thing we cut, but really it should be the last thing we cut. Mm-hmm. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock, getting a better night's sleep, not only for you, but especially for your kids. We'll talk to Pam Killeen, nutritional consultant, when we come back here on 610 CKTB.
Got too many bills to pay. Give yourself some room to move to the music you hear. Gotta get up, listen to me, clap your hands, stomp your feet.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. Pam Killeen, nutritional consultant, joining us. I guess healthy living consultant, because I'll expand it, because sleep is so critical to being healthy. It's not just about, making sure you're in shape or making sure you're getting the right foods and making sure your brain is healthy. Sleep is such a critical component to our overall health.
Oh, it's crucial. And what happens is people end up in a vicious cycle. If they're living in this fast new world and they are pushing and pushing and pushing their batteries, these adrenal glands, right? If they're pushing those adrenal glands too hard, then they're going to be constantly in what's known as in a state of sympathetic dominance. And when you're in a state of sympathetic dominance, this is what can really disrupt what's known as your circadian rhythms, you know, the hormonal balance or cycles in the body. And so what ends up happening is people are pushing all day long, and by the time they go to bed at night, of course they're exhausted, but they're pushing out so many stress hormones that they're not going to have a good night's sleep. I mean, if they're going to be lucky if they can fall asleep, they're going to be lucky if they can stay asleep, and they're going to be lucky if they can wake up feeling refreshed. This sleep issue, Tom, is a disaster here in North America. Millions of people, unfortunately, are turning to sleep aids in order to fall asleep or stay asleep. But really what it is that we're just disobeying Mother Nature. We're not supposed to be pushing our adrenal glands as hard as we are. And secondarily, this does tie into the consumption of animal fat, which we talk about quite a bit on this show. And when my clients actually start increasing their consumption of animal fat, I mean, I'm working with them on many different levels in order to help them have a good night's sleep. But it's really the animal fat, getting enough animal fat in your diet, that's what's going to fuel those adrenal glands in terms of calming them down and making them work properly. And so when people are eating a high-carb, low-fat diet, this is part of the problem as well. And so when they start eating more animal fat, invariably, in many, many cases, I'll hear that people are sleeping better at night.
Now, one of the problems as well, and this is not a situation that is going to go away, we are not going to go back without artificial light or entertainment. That our you know, a light bulb, but also our screens are here to stay, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in, you know, 150 years ago, when we had maybe gas street lamps in a couple of cities, and you'd have candlelight in your house, it was, you know, your body would go through a natural rhythm because the darkness would produce melatonin, would make us sleepy, no problem. How do we combat that now? How do I live in the modern world, but also master my body's hormones at night?
Okay. Well, this is really important for children, because children, of course, a lot of them, you know, about 25% of children between the ages of, say, 12 and 16 are falling asleep in front of some sort of digital device. And this is what's leading to what's called junk sleep. So they're not going to get a good night's sleep with all that stimulation before they go to bed. That's the last thing you want, essentially, before you go to bed at night, is to overstimulate your nervous system. So what needs to happen is, number one, these electronic devices need to be removed from bedrooms. Right? They've got, especially for children, you know, because you go to, you know, you can tuck your kid in bed at night, and if there's an electronic device in the bedroom, you don't know potentially whether or not the child will gravitate towards that device and stay up for an extra couple of hours. So you have to remove these digital devices out of children's bedrooms. You also have to come up with strategies to relax the nervous system. You know, after dinner is when you have to start implementing some of these strategies. So you don't want necessarily to go out and start pushing your heart rate up, because that's not what you want before you go to bed. You have to get your heart rate down.
I find, just as a small aside, exercising later than normal for me is a surefire way not to fall asleep. That your body, I mean, your body revs up and I mean, you may think you're tired, but it's almost impossible that if I exercise too late, it's like, well, forget it. I'm not going to sleep because your body warms up and gets ready to do more activity.
That's right. It's not a good habit to get into. Some people may get away with that for some years of their lives, but in the long run, it's going to overstimulate their nervous system and basically impair their sleep patterns. So at night, you've got to come up with strategies to do calming things. And I don't know what that might be for every. I even tell this to my clients. I don't want to tell you what it is that's going to relax you. Mm-hmm. The people have to find out that information on their own. So for some people, it may be reading. For other people, it may be doing artwork. For somebody, it might be knitting or sewing. I don't know. Maybe watching a relaxing TV show. Certainly nothing terrorizing or violent. It's going to be a relative situation based on that individual and what they find helps them relax.
How much before my child goes to sleep, or how much before adults go to sleep, because it's almost impossible as well to turn off the TV, unless you are exhausted, and that's another issue we'll get into, but it's almost impossible to turn off the TV and then go to sleep, that there's still that stimulation going on for the brain. How long before I want to go to sleep? Let's say I want to go to sleep at 10. What do you suggest to people in terms of, if you want to go to sleep at 10, turn off the TV at what hour, start doing something relaxing, have a bath, go to bed, read or whatever. When do I start that process?
Well, I think it should really start after dinner. Because when you're relaxed at meals, you're going to better digest your food. So at dinner time, it's a double benefit if you're starting to do strategies to relax after dinner. So if you, after dinner, decide you're going to go and read a book or, who knows, meditate, pray, whatever people are drawn to, that's going to actually help you not just better digest your meal, but also help prepare you to relax so that you have a couple of hours before you go to bed and can better fall asleep.
So what would you suggest then for my children? Should they be doing either playing a game, maybe not a video game, maybe doing their, is that a good time for them to do their homework? I mean, how do I then get my children, which is tough to get them to settle down, but it's like, all right, now we have to have a bedtime routine.
Yeah, bedtime routine is really what it's all about. And it may be that they did sports activities after school and they didn't have time for their homework. So if they do have homework, it may be somewhat stimulating, but at least it's not like they're out playing soccer before bed, you know. So, yeah, homework would probably be fine to do. Watching TV, I'm not adverse to watching TV. I know that in some cases it can be overstimulating, but if you choose the right show to watch, It may be actually quite calming as well. We have to put things into perspective here. I'm not anti-media. I just think it needs to be used responsibly. So, and the same thing goes with video games, even though I see a huge, gray area where there's abuse going on in the field of video gaming. Video games, when they're done properly and you're limiting your time on these devices, they can be very useful in some cases if they're educational or motivational or whatever. So it's about choosing media that is empowering rather than disempowering. And so even if you needed to use video games in very, very short periods of time for your child as an incentive, essentially, to get them to calm down, if the game is calming, that is, then that may be something you have to use to get them to go to bed early at night as well.
Pam Colleen, I know how important sleep is. It's just this time of year critical for children because their sleep patterns change so much. And this is a challenge for a lot of parents, I know. But thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Tom. Take care.
That's Pam Colleen, pamkilleen.com, pamkilleen.com. Certainly a challenge, not only for adults to try to get a good night's sleep, but also now for kids, everything changes next week. I mean, anyone's kids getting up at their school time hour this summer? Probably not. Not many. Some in high school actually get up earlier because they may have a job, but it's not like my 8-year-old is getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning in the summer, ever. 29 minutes after 11 o'clock, news is next on 610 CKTV.